Play 1. Some Dance to Remember. Written by Neil Arnott. Directed by Lauren Sturgis. Proudly brought to you by Bamalan Productions. Bringing new talent to your ears.
Ah, oh, Liz, what do you think? Higher or lower than 125? Lower.
Shall I put the bins out, love? They'll be coming later.
Hmm?
Shall I put the bins out?
Why? They don't come till Thursday.
What day is it today?
It's only Tuesday.
Is it? Oh, sorry, love. I could have sworn...
Never mind. Put the kettle on and we'll have a nice cuppa, eh?
Ah, that'd be nice.
That's how it starts. Simple things. The little things that you laugh about when the kids ring up. You don't really see it at first. I mean, yes, I suppose you see little changes. But not when they're happening, if that makes sense. It's like that thing about the frog. You know, the thing where you put a frog in a saucepan in some cold water and then heat it up slowly. And the frog doesn't realise because the change is so gradual. So it just sits there until, eventually, it boils to death. That's what it's like. It's getting worse and worse. But you just don't realise, and you can't do anything about it.
Have we got any of those biscuits? You know, those biscuits, the ones I like.
Garibaldi.
I love Garibaldi. That's what I said.
Second cupboard. There's a new packet. I got them from Tesco yesterday.
Second cupboard.
And don't forget to turn the kettle on. You know what you like. Don't fill it all the way, though.
Right you are, love. Second cupboard. Second cupboard.
40 years we've been together. I was 22. He was 26. We met at the Crystal. It was a nightclub. Long gone now, of course. I'll never forget our first dance. Hotel California by the Eagles. You know the one. We love that song. I always said I wanted to go there someday. Sounded so glamorous. Mirrors on the ceiling and pink champagne on ice. Silly, really. We never got further than a week at Butlins at Filey, but never mind. We had a good times, you know, when the kids were little. And we both worked hard. We had to. Money was tight. Jim worked away a lot, you see. So we only saw him every other weekend. But we did what we could. We stayed together. And then... And then all of a sudden, the kids had left home. Just like that. Just crept up on us. And I had a bit of a turn. A stroke, they said. I was in hospital for a month. So Jim had to give up work. He was thinking about retiring anyway. 6 years ago now. I got better slowly. Jim was a rock. He looked after me, cared for me. But by the time I was back on my feet, back to normal, well, he wasn't himself. Then Dan, our eldest, came to stay for a week. He was doing some course or other and it was cheaper to stay here than in a hotel. And that was when we realised. He'd not seen his dad for a while. And though he'd ring us up on a Sunday, well, if his dad answered, he just used to hand it over to me. But it was Dan who noticed how bad things had got. Took me to one side. Told me we needed to get help. But of course, there was no help. Not really. Tests and specialists, plenty of them. But not help. A prognosis of anywhere between 5 and 15 years. They told us he'd just get worse. His memory. And then, eventually, he wouldn't recognise us. His family. His wife. Strangers in waiting. He moved into a home eventually. Hello, love. How's things? Have you had a good day?
Not too bad.
What have you been doing?
Oh, you know, this and that. Been working up the road.
Oh, that's good. What have you been working on?
You know, plastering. Plastering a house. Just up there.
Oh, that's good. I bet it was cold.
Oh, not too bad. You know, I was wearing, you know...
A jumper?
Yeah, that's it. A jumper.
It was usually like that. Inane, dull conversations about absolute rubbish. He'd no more been plastering than I'd been climbing Mount Everest. But in his mind, in the abyss of blankness that was filling his head, I suppose it would all short-circuit every now and then, and some vague memory from his working life would implant itself into his brain and lie to him. Tell him that it was only this afternoon. Some days he'd been working, other days he reckoned he'd been walking to the beach or in the woods. I visited him practically every day, sometimes twice, and we'd talk about his day and the children and the grandkids, and I'd go back the next day and have exactly the same conversations with him. But gradually, as the weeks and months passed by, he knew less and less, became less and less communicative, less talk, more gaps, more silences.
Hello, love. What are you doing here?
Come to see you, pet. Have you had your tea?
Yeah, I think so. A bit ago.
What did you have?
You know, meat and potatoes and that other stuff.
Vegetables?
No. Carpets.
Carpets?
Yeah. No, not... Carrots, that's it.
He had his coping strategies, his ways of getting through my visits. That was one of them. It was always meat and potatoes for dinner. He could remember that, you see. It was as if he knew that so long as he said meat and potatoes, he was doing well. I'd be happy with that answer. So meat and potatoes it was. And you learn not to question or correct. Carpets, carrots, doesn't really matter, does it? It only got him angry, frustrated. The worst time was when he first went into the home. He still knew what was going on, some of the time. He tried to get out, to escape the home and to come home. But he couldn't. I couldn't cope. He'd hit me, you see. Only once. He was in the kitchen and was trying to put a knife into the toaster and I yelled at him, Jim! Just on the shoulder. But he didn't know what he was doing. It wasn't him. He'd never been like that. I told Dan and then this woman came from social services and I got upset and she said it might be a good idea if he went into a place that was designed to cope with people with his problems. That was a Friday. They took him away on the Wednesday.
I don't like it here. I want to go home.
I know, pet, but you can't.
Why not? Why can't I go home?
Because you're not well. We've been through this, Jim. Maybe when you're a bit better. They're looking after you here, though.
I don't like it. They're all nutters.
Why?
Look at them. They just sit there. What's wrong with them? Yeah. Get on, will you? Where are you going?
Jim.
Where are you going?
Jim, calm down.
He's
quiet.
A bastard, that one.
Jim, shh.
I'll bloody have him. I will. I'll bloody have you, you bastard.
Jim, stop it now. In the early days, before it got too bad and he went into the home, we managed to get away a few times. Do things we'd always promised we'd do and never had. We went to Norway, to the fjords, and to Italy. But never to my Hotel California. We took lots of photos. Sometimes when I went to see him, I'd take them with me. Where's that, Jim? Can you remember? We went there. Do you remember going? Where is it, Jim?
It's... No, I don't know.
Don't you remember? It was a really hot day. It's
The Coliseum!
That's it, well done. Oh, we had a super time, didn't we? I love those days. I really cherish them. The days he was just about hanging on in there before he shut down totally. Before the water reached boiling point. When I think of him now, that's how I remember him most often. And I can live with that. With knowing that the memories hadn't gone. That they were still in there. But he just couldn't tell me about them. Oh, we packed in so much in that last year or so, knowing it was our last chance. And I'm grateful for that. Because we might never have done it otherwise, and I'd never have had those memories. I've seen plenty of couples run out of things to say after a lifetime of marriage. It's as if they know everything there is to know about each other. So when they talk, it just irritates or annoys one or the other. If there is any upside to this disease, it is that it forces you to talk while you still can. You can say all the things that really matter and things that don't matter in the slightest. I tell Jim every day that I love him. I don't know if he knows now, but I like to think he does. I still look forward to visiting him, to seeing him every day. Even though it's not the real Jim, I still love him. But of course, the kids find it hard, living away and not seeing him. Then when they do come home and he's not there to greet them, not there to ask them how their journey was and to put the kettle on for them, I hate all the conversations about whether it's right to take the bairns to see their granddad. Should they see him like that? And deciding that, no, it's probably for the best if they just stay at home this time. And then everyone trying to be jolly when they're with him. To keep the smiles in place to mask the look of horror when they see just what their dad has become. And waving them off on a Sunday evening for a long drive home, knowing they may never see him again. But the weeks roll into months, and the months roll into years. And like the frog in the pan, you don't realise what's happening.
Is that you?
Yes, pet, it's me.
Thanks for coming, ma'am. I haven't seen you in ages.
Not your mum, Jim. I'm Rose, your wife.
Not... Where's me mum?
Oh, Jim. Your mum's not here, Jim. I'm here.
I want me mum.
I know, pet. She might pop in later. His mum never did pop in, of course. But he often thought I was her, and it was kinder to let him think that. And then, eventually, he stopped thinking I was anyone. Didn't really know that I was there at all, just existing in his own little goldfish bowl of fog, plastering, walking, playing with the kids, our holidays together. Who knows what jumbled fragments were still in there? But I still danced with him. Every time I went to see him, we danced, and I hummed our song in his ear. And I realised that I didn't want to see myself mirrored in the ceiling anymore, or to drink pink champagne on ice. I just wanted my gym back. But for those short moments when we dance, when we dance to our song, we are back in our youth again, back in the crystal, and every so often I could swear there's just the tiniest glint in his eye. And that's the best thing and the worst at the same time, because it gives me hope, and then it's gone again. And so what else can we do but dance? Because that is all we have left. We dance to remember, and sometimes we dance to forget.
You have been listening to Some Dance to Remember, written by Neil Arnott, directed by Lauren Sturges, starring Anne Barron as Rose and Jeff Barron as Jim. Join us next week for the second play of this season of work, Transformation Perfection.